둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
There is a podcast that is a world unto itself.
A podcast as boundless as space and as timeless as infinity.
It is the place between light and shadow.
Science and superstition.
You've entered the fifth dimension. The latest series from the Consequence Podcast Network will open the door into Jordan Peele's new revival of The Twilight Zone, and it will go as far as the limits of the mind itself. Subscribe to The Fifth Dimension.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. If you're not already a subscriber, please take a moment before we get started here, because obviously you're into interviews and you love good music, so you might as well keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. In fact, we release a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over at Consequence of Sound. And you can subscribe anywhere you get your favorite podcasts from. That includes iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along on Spotify and YouTube as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, you know him as Captain Kirk Douglas. He is the guitarist from The Roots, also part of the Tonight Show band. And he's got his very first solo record coming out under the name 100 Watt Heart. The album's going to be called Turbulent Times. We'll get into the reasons for both of those titles right there and what it's been like doing his first solo album. And it's interesting, too, because he ties in his life as an entertainer on The Tonight Show with The Roots into the songwriting, and especially the first single. There's also an interesting story that involves Prince smashing his guitar, coming to terms with that, and the story he got afterward. In fact, Prince factors into a couple songs on this record, and we'll discuss how we hold artists up, especially with someone like that. There is also an update on The Roots. A lot of us have been wondering. It's been a few years since the last Roots album, and he tells us, yes, there's one on the way. It's Kyle Meredith with Captain Kirk Douglas as 100 Watt Heart.
Hi, Kyle.
I want to say at the beginning, and this has no meaning to anything, I don't think, but I just saw this right before I called you. Different year, but we have the same birthday. We're both September 30th people. So for whatever that means, we got that going.
That means that you know what it's like to have one of the greatest birthdays I can imagine one having. I wouldn't trade it for anybody's. Nor, I mean, everybody should feel that way about their birthday. But if your birthday is 9:30, especially, I mean, come on, there's a 9:30 club in D.C. It's a good time to get to bed and have a good night's sleep.
I've never put the thought into it. You're making me feel good about that, though. That's
Oh, it's a great time of year. It's a time of transition. If you've never felt that good about it before, I'm telling you, feel good about it now.
I instantly do. And the other thing I was going to bring up before we got started here, I'm really close. There's been a lot of folks on the Tonight Show that I'm close with, but I'm really close with the guys in a band called Love Jones.
They're super talented, man. That's what I recall from them being on the show. I mean, I've saw them, of course, in Swingers, but then seeing them up close at close range on the Tonight Show, it was very evident how good musicians those guys were.
Let me congratulate you on what I've heard so far from Turbulent Times and your debut solo album. We get to say that. Does that sound weird, a debut solo album?
It sounds... I can't tell you how weird that sounds. Well, it sounds weird just because, well, A, I mean... I played it with a band, you know. It's not like I got a cast of characters, like, so it's like it feels weird calling it a solo album, but I mean, I am singing on it. I did write the songs. It is my project. So I guess, you know, for all intents and purposes, I guess you could call it a solo album. I guess that would be accurate in doing so, but that does not take away from the fact that it does sound weird to me.
Was it always in the cards for you, or is this a recent desire?
No, I mean, I always wrote music outside of the Roots. I mean, I love music and I love playing with the Roots, and I don't always get an opportunity to play with them because we're not, even though we work a lot, we're not always working. And when we're not working together and I'm playing music, I'm not playing Roots songs, wishing that they were there. So you know, the random melodies that come into my head that I know would be of no use to the Roots as a band, I have to find a place to put those random melodies. And, you know, random thoughts I have, I have to find a place for those thoughts. And so those thoughts go into those melodies, and and then it winds up turning into music. And now I need to find a place for this music. And, I sort of, you know, I want to create a space where something can outlive me and something can, you know, I have something to show for my time being in the Roots other than just being in the Roots.
Right.
And, you know, and people have asked me too. People said, hey, what do you do your own thing or do you do other things? And I do. And so, it's, you know, it happened that I found a place to record it. You know, I have a whole other album that I recorded that I have not released that I recorded in my mom's basement. And I didn't release that because I thought it would be, well, probably a lot of work to do, which I'm discovering is. And so... So I never did, but this time it's like, just, you know, I have kids now, and, you know, they have projects that they need to do for school, and part of the lesson is to, you know, finish things that you start. So I recorded these 8 songs, and I, you know, if I was to really see it through to being in a place beyond my laptop, you know, and to make it available for anybody that cares, I will, you know, the logical end for it would be to make it available for people other than myself to hear. So so I guess, was it always in the cards, was your original question? It's hard to say because it's like, it's all, everything that I do, you know, being a parent, I love my kids, but if I don't take them to school, if I don't tend to their needs, if I don't provide food and shelter for them, there's immediate repercussions. You know, as a guitar player of the Roots, if I don't make it on time to a gig, there's immediate repercussions. If I don't make it to the Tonight Show, there's immediate repercussions. I don't suffer any immediate repercussions if I don't put out a solo record. So,
it's a good way.
You know, So I'm not in any big rush to do it, but when I think of how, you know, the passing of time, and I think of how life is short, and I'm thinking it would be fun to see what it's like, just, you know, just for that and that alone, then I figured, you know, let me try to cut some time out so I could actually complete this process of, you know, thinking about a song, recording a song, and then the last process, making it available for to share with others.
You mentioned, you know, kind of being odd to call it solo record because you are playing with a band. Is that why you went with a band name? I mean, we haven't said that yet. 100 Watt Heart is what this is listed under.
Yeah, 100 Watt Heart. Yeah, that's why I went with a band name, because I like the idea of a band. I like, you know, band concepts. And for me to be a solo artist, just to be holding a record and looking at it and for it to say Captain Kirk Douglas, like, that, you know, aesthetically doesn't really appeal to me. And to hold an album that says Kirk Douglas, it appeals to me even less so because of all the associations that I think you may know about.
Right.
I think you're old enough to know about.
Right.
So I wanted to just, you know, just in the tradition of people like The Weeknd or Iron and Wine or who else is like one person that, you know, sort of has a band name for their moniker.
I mean, I guess you could say Nine Inch Nails, you know, it was like that for a long time. I mean, yeah, there's a lot, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, so I feel like 100 Watt Heart, that was something that, you know, sort of is a pretty accurate description of what this is, you know, like music that's coming from my heart, that's amplified. And, you know, that tends to be, in my ears, sounding better when it's turned up loud. So that was a name that spoke to me. So that's why I decided to call it that.
Yeah, you get that loudness. I mean, the very first single, you know, I Used to Be in the Circus. You hear about, you know, the best songs are writing about what you know. And for this song, as I read, to be sort of about your life as an entertainer, you know, part of The Tonight Show and just being an entertainer. But it seems like your experience is even unique to most for a lot of artists in that regard.
Yeah, and I feel like the lyrics draw from actual experiences, and it's sort of just, you know, that's a song that, like, years from now, I can look back at that song, and it'll prove to be even more accurate, because at this present moment, I'm quite in the middle of that circus. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen The Roots live, but there's an element of it that's, you know, where you're doing, it's whatever you can do to entertain the crowd. And very much as the case with The Roots, it's also the case with The Tonight Show. It's like whatever we can do to get a laugh, whatever we can do to amuse. So that's very much a part of my life, and I have fun with it. And you know, the lyric about, you know, we're in your bedroom, we're in your living room, and we're still going to bring it to you live. Like, we're still going on the road as The Roots, despite the fact that we're also doing this television show. So it's really, you know, it was a fun way for me to document all that's going on right now, because life is fleeting, and at some point, you know, it's not necessarily going to be quite like this. So it's like encapsulating a time of my life, which I'm enjoying quite a bit.
To live this dual life, and maybe now it's a tri-life, I don't know how you'd say that, but for the workload you do have on The Tonight Show, does learning so many bits and covers nightly, do you feel like that ever gets in the way of your songwriting? Like, now that sounds like this, like this other thing.
I mean, sometimes it can inform your songwriting. What gets more difficult is to come up with something or to play something that touches you emotionally, because you are so used to, your relationship with music sort of changes over time, and you have to play so many different styles of music. You know, to find something that you feel like hits an emotional chord within you, it gets to be a little bit more difficult, but it's not impossible. But what's necessary to do so is carving out time to make music when you're away from your job. Oh, but my job is to make music.
Right.
So it's like you have to really find that time to, you know, spend time with your instrument, spend time with yourself, and when there's no music around, and sort of be your own radio. And as time goes on, it's more difficult to do that. But that's not to say it's impossible to do that. It just takes more time to do that. So yeah, it does make it more difficult, but it doesn't make it impossible. I guess that's my answer to that.
And naming that record Turbulent Times, I mean, there is some very obvious imagery that we conjure up. You know, so that part, maybe it's not a mystery to me, and maybe you mean it differently, but I was thinking, like, to be in your experience, you do get to meet a lot of the world leaders who come on the show. Do you find that makes a difference to meet the human? Because, you know, for most of us out of here, even the world leaders that we're behind are still people that almost seem mythical, you know? And I don't know, I feel like that's where a lot of the divide comes from, because the human aspect is out of that.
Well, I have to clarify that I don't really get to meet a lot of the guests that are on the show, unless they're the musical guests. You know, you see, there's, you know, sometimes politicians make appearances on our show, and, you know, the show, like, the first and foremost aspect of the show is to entertain and hopefully, you know, like you describe, like, try to find the human that's in there, the exterior that you see that they may be trying to portray. I mean, I guess that's the function of really any person that sits down on the couch with Jimmy. You know, the goal is to try to find how this person can be just like you and me. So it's great to see that on a daily basis. The aspect of when, you know, touching upon the record, upon the title of the record, Turbulent Times. I mean, it's very difficult to get to the bottom of things in the span of 3 minutes, in the span of a song. You know, but that song was coming from. I mean, I'm talking about the song because you mentioned
right.
You know, Turbulent Times. But that's just coming from a place of kind of like how a child would see, you know, their parents arguing, you know, and, you know, a child that's like, you know, 5 years old or 10 years old, you know, and then you hear your parents in another room and they're like throwing things at each other and you cannot possibly imagine or understand why that's taking place. And then, you know, kind of applying that sort of naivety to adulthood, and you're looking at and everybody, I guess, just looking at the world's affairs and just wondering, like, what would cause somebody to do something so unspeakable, you know, in terms of, you know, when you think of mass shootings, when you think of terroristic activity, you know, when you think of racially motivated crime, and how difficult it can be to, like, understand how somebody can do such a thing. And then you think about, like, oh, well, throughout, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's a theme that periodically resonates throughout history and currently, you know, and sometimes more than others. But that's why it's sort of the end of the song sort of goes back to the sentiment, you know, everything that I've ever needed to learn in life, I've learned in preschool. Everything I needed to learn in life, I learned in preschool. You know, you treat others like I want to be treated, you know, and I think when you're born and when you're raised a certain way, you know, some people, not everybody gets that. Not everybody gets that vital information that allows you to live on this earth with other humans and respect others the way that you want to be respected. And it sort of suggests that us as children, what we experience as children what we learn, like just learning that basic aspect of humanity to treat others the way that you want to be treated, that fundamental quality, that is what can turn things around, you know. And it's not coming up with an answer, but I feel like just one by one, you know, politically trying to come from a place with empathy, with, you know, if every individual was to operate in that respect, you know, that's how change could occur. The lyric is, we could all become more wise if we saw through each other's eyes. Only then we'll realize how to climb out of these turbulent times. Yeah. That's the lyric, and that's the sentiment. And it's you know, the song starts with, like, asking a question, like kind of asking rhetorical questions, basically asking why we're in the troubles that we're in. And, you know, the answer is it's super complicated as to why we're in the situation we're in. And it's when you ask these, if you're in the situation where you're asking these questions, you're in the situation where you can do something about it in your own individual way. And I guess that's what the song is for, to inspire one to, like, to fix them in their own immediate surroundings. So that I don't know if that really answered your question.
Oh, absolutely. No. I'll say this. For me, of course, I would give it all up if we didn't have to live in it with the stuff that is happening around us, you know, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and all that. But, you know, a lot of my favorite songs are topical songs, and they are socially reflective songs. And I absolutely do think that an artist can put good in the world with their music, you know, by by putting that subject out there, by making it something we can sing along to, even at its base moments. And I always find it interesting too when you have an artist and you know that not everybody that you're going to be singing to agrees with you. You're not always preaching to the choir, and sometimes you're singing to a brick wall. But I'll pull this up. Vernon Reed, you I think you retweeted this, or maybe I just saw him do it, but he was tweeting about hate not tearing fans apart from the artists, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that seems really commendable, because I don't know, you got to know that when you're singing about this stuff, how it can be met and how it might not be met. But I think that it will still make a positive impact.
Yeah, that's all any individual can do in their own little way. And that accumulates. This is my own little way. And you never, like, you know, there's that saying, there are no small actions, you know? So it's like, from me to the person who I'm waiting for them to move their car so I can get a parking spot, that person, you know, anybody, like, whatever they can do to improve, you know, the quality of life for our immediate surroundings, you know, that accumulates.
Well, I appreciate that stuff right there. I want to go, you know, to the lighter side, to the more trivial side right here, too, because, you know, one of the interviews you've done, I think it was with Rolling Stone, you were talking about how Prince sort of also ties in to this record a little bit. You've written a couple songs, or at least that have to do with Prince. But one of those is that he borrowed one of your prize guitars on the Tonight Show and broke it at the end. I've read that, and I'm just flabbergasted because, and maybe you want to tell this story again, but I'll throw the question out there. How do you rectify, you know, appreciating an artist as much as Prince and then watching him do something like this to something that you also care about?
Well, a lot of good came from that, you know. A lot of artists who I admire, you know, reached out to me saying, oh, that was a really shitty thing what he did, or saying, hey, that guitar he broke, I know exactly where you can get another. You know, Jackson Browne reached out and, you know, with a listing of where to find another Epiphone Crestwood. You know, that to me was just super amazing. And I think Jackson Browne reached out to Elvis Costello, and Elvis Costello passed that information on to me. You know, that just made the situation, you know, what initially felt like such an awful situation. I mean, it was just the moment, you know, that was an awful, but it wasn't completely awful, because it was complicated. I went through some complicated emotions in that very moment, but initially it was kind of negative, you know. I mean, after it happened, I had my guitar in pieces. You know, I went to Prince. I was like, hey, you know, you broke the guitar. You know, if you don't mind, can you sign it at least? And he was like, oh, I haven't signed anything since the 70s.
Insult to injury right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, I mean, I guess I would probably take it personally if I was the only person that anything like this ever happened to.
Yeah.
But the reality is this sort of thing has happened with, you know, many people, you know, like other guitar players came out to me as like, oh yeah, he did the same thing to me on a jam session, you know, for real. And, you know, there's the Kevin Smith story, you know, with what he did, you know, but on the other side of it, especially in recent times, we've learned that that's really not the worst thing a singer that we all love can do. And the dude, Prince, has done an amazing amount of good in the world. You know, he, like, you know, paid Clive Stubblefield's medical bills anonymously for, like, the longest time. I think I heard that. Maybe you want to check that fact out, but that's just a handful of things, you know. Prince is on a completely different level than most people, because he's been so famous. He's been more famous than many of us knew what it is to be famous. He's been famous for longer than we've even known what fame is,
right,
in many instances. So your relationship to the world and to human constructs and to valued equipment may be really difficult, different than most other people's. Doesn't say it's right necessarily, but it's just different. And I can't imagine what it's like living through his experience. But when I try to, I look, and also from the fact, you know, we have to also remember, you know, I don't know if you know this, but he totally reimbursed me for the situation. He made good on it. You know, he put money into my account, and I had an amazing story from what happened. You know, I told Chris Rock about it. I remember, and he was like, oh, well, congratulations. You too now have your own Princess of the Asshole to Me story, you know? So I feel like I'm part of like a special, you know, I'm part of this club, you know, of people that has been, you know, wronged by him, but for all I know, he could have just even known in all of his genius. It's like, watch, I'm going to hook this kid up. I'm going to break his guitar. Why? So he's going to have a story about it, and so he can have this story and talk about it for the rest of his life. I mean, if that was his thought, he would not be wrong about that.
He was not wrong.
So, you know what I mean? So so I can quite comfortably and with a smile on my face continue to listen to his music and to continue to be inspired by his colossal funk of things that he's done, and also by some of the most sensitive music, you know, that I feel has ever been created. You know, the same guy that did Let's Go Crazy is the same guy that did Sometimes It Snows in April.
Right.
And that's kind of all you need to know. and I'm happy to have had anything to do with him, even on me being the receiving end of that. Because in the grand, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a material object. A guitar. It's just wire and wood. Yes, it was my property. Yes, it was wrong. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy that whose relationship to property, to money, to personal space, to being rude, you know, I mean, if I'm assuming he probably had to suffer some form of corporal punishment as a kid, and maybe your relationship to people and things change after that. No, but I mean, I totally can forgive about that. I was able to forgive the moment that guitar was repaired, and when I heard that it sounded and played better, as good if not better than ever.
And so, I will throw the credit where it's due on this side. He's done a lot for our community, and it was almost always done privately in you know, as he was sort of known to do.
Right.
Yeah. So I totally get everything where you came from. It's just such a unique situation, as you say. Now you have that Prince story, but it does go on to, you know, how we make these. We do make some people immortal in a way. Our artists. I definitely hold artists and artistry up, you know, to a high regard. And it feels like that does, I guess in a way it circles back around to, you know, your song, I Used to Be in the Circus. And you're part of the tradition. I mean, people feel about the Roots like that in the same way. I mean, to someone, you are held in that same regard as you know, as we hold Prince.
Yeah. It's crazy to think. But I mean, you know, it's you could think of music as it's so many different ways, you know. When it starts to affect many people, you know, it becomes bigger than that person as a human being. And you know, the song Flesh and Bone is about that, about us being more than flesh and bone, about us being more than the human side of us. And the music is the spiritual. And when music can, like, move people and bring people together, then that human being is doing more than human being work in that instance. But that process is not limited to just artists that can affect people at large, but just, you know, anybody, any human being, you know, that makes another human being feel accepted and feel appreciated is doing something for that person's spirit, is doing healing work for that person that's beyond healing their body, but healing their souls. So, you know, it's you know, that song's about how, you know, artists obviously have the ability to do that, but how people, like, how anybody, everybody is more than their mortal coil. So that's what that's about.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful way to put that too. I mean, definitely the music is a gift, but I do love how you kind of push that even further than that, because I put my music blinders on, you know, with a lot of that. That's really well put.
Yeah, that's only natural, because it's like everybody we listen to, you're not listening to you're listening to a moment that you're listening to something that came through them, and that's what you're responding to, you know, for whatever hardships a person was to have gone through. Like when you're touched by somebody's music, you know, you're connecting to their joy, you're connecting to their pain, you're connecting to their experience where they're trying to, in that moment, they're trying to be the best that they can be, and that resonates within you, and that's something. That's the magic right there. That's like, that's evidence of actual magic to me. Well, that's why, of course, it's going to get confusing when the human being that all that passes through, if you see them in a, you know, Home Depot, why you're going to feel awkward around them, because you have this relationship with them that they don't have with you.
Right.
And you don't get like celebrity interaction manual. You know, it's not, that's not something that's like taught in schools or taught how, you know, how to react. You know, that's just something that's to be figured out. And to make matters worse, we have social media, which, you know, it really makes Warhol, you know, really prophetic when he said everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. You know, that looks like, what the hell does that mean? I mean, I feel like it's just a poetic way of describing exactly what we see now with social media. And you can't help but hold people in this high regard because you see nothing but their highlight reel, and you just see nothing but what they choose to filter, what they choose to allow you to see. And whatever that is something that you can see. You don't have to like wait for that moment on television to arrive when you can see that certain show or that certain news program. It's coming at you so quickly on your phone, on whatever your device is, you know, at, you know, whenever. So that's what also alters our perception. And that's why, you know, my son says things to me like, you know, I saw this kid from this other school and I totally know them. It's like they're kind of famous because I see them on my Instagram. And he has the same sort of, it's a similar dynamic that one would feel towards a famous person. But they just feel this way because they just see them in person at a playground and that person's on Instagram and they see them on their phone and they see them in person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I know I got off topic. Oh, it's okay. But I'm sure you're used to people getting off topic.
Let me use that as a nice wrap-up seg, though, and to say with a compliment, a huge compliment, that the magic that is coming through you is connecting, and it is a monstrous sound on this 100-watt heart record that I'm enjoying so much.
Wow, thank you. I mean, really, honestly, and I mean, like, just for, I know it sounds like a cliche. I know you, like, you know, people, like, just want, you know, give me the likes, give me the hits, whatever. Like, if I just know how the music makes me feel when, you know, I can't listen. Even things that I truly love, I can't listen to over and over. I can't listen to Turbulent Times over and over, you know. But every now and then, I put it on, and I'm like, wow, this totally, it takes me to when I discovered whatever song it is. And then I'm good for, like, a week or two or whatever, you know. That's how I feel about most music. And if I can do that for, like, one person, if one person's just like, wow, I actually like this record, and this record makes me feel a certain way, that will never get old for me.
Well, I'll throw at the end, I'm certain this is the question that always comes up at the end, but as far as the other thing, The Roots, it's been 5 years now. Is there plans for another one? Since the last album? Am I wrong by that?
The next Roots album.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gotta ask about that one, too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What is your question? Will there be another, or when will it be?
Well, I guess I would probably end up asking both those, but, you know, with it being 5 years, and I mean, well, let's just do that. Will there be another record?
Yes, I think there totally will be.
Do you know of a timeline when you think there might be another record?
I'm thinking another Roots record will be out within the next year.
That's exciting. 'Cause
yeah, that's my guess. But it's I mean, that's one of the things that was appealing about making a solo record. It's just like one person, you know. It doesn't have to go through as much of a process. It's not as democratic. There are less chefs in the kitchen, let's say. You know?
Well, especially as you said, when you're together every single night, you know, or every single day, rather, you know, doing this whole thing, and then you have to go about your personal lives. Like, for any other band, that would have been the time where you got that group of people together to work on a record. So I can completely see where you're coming from on that.
Yeah. It's a challenge, but every record that you've ever heard from The Roots has always been a challenge too. so it's but yeah, rest assured, I think within the next year we should see it to completion.
Well, this is great, you know, for what it is. Again, I don't want to brush past Turbulent Times, because this 100-watt heart record, it is, and I'll use that word again, it is a monster. The sound, the amplification that you have made is a very big sound that I quite appreciate.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kyle.
And Kurt, it's been a pleasure. Good luck out there and all of those, you know, niceties and everything. And I'll see you on the TV.
Right on. I'll see you back.
All right. Take care.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Bye. A big, big thanks to Captain Kirk Douglas The debut album from 100 Watt Hearts is called Turbulent Times. Before you get out of here, if you haven't already, please do hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening from right now, whether that's, again, YouTube or Spotify or anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, like iTunes and Apple Podcasts. And in fact, while you're doing that, go ahead and give the whole series a rating and leave a review if you feel so inspired. And after that, you can head to WFPK.org, where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. You can also find some bonus episodes of this series. Get all your music and film news from ConsequenceOfSound.net. And you can find me at Twitter, at Kyle Meredith, and Facebook, /Kyle Meredith. That's it for another edition. Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.